Crumbs and Filth, the Citizen Kane of podcasting. Modern man is confronted with so many movies. Which ones are films?
And which ones are filth?
At number 82, hoes, 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 Merry Christmas.
Black Christmas, I gave you my heart, the very next day you...
Oh, man, I didn't think long. I need something really violent to go there, but... or you're maybe not.
Black liquid. Hey,
maybe I hey, don't. 2019's Black Christmas, some things it's missing. Christmas and, like, violence.
If well, the funny thing is that...
Screen, I should say.
This was originally going to be switched around to be at Christmas, and it would have been hilarious if we'd done it because there's barely any Christmas in this movie. Hi.
Hi. I'm Mark. He's Mark. I'm Matt.
Hi. I'm Luke.
He's Luke. Andrew's back from Gonzerific. He only wants the bad movie list. You haven't done a good list one, have you?
Well, most of the movies I own are on this bad movie. I'll come right out and say it. I was so excited for this Black Christmas. I ran out to see it in theaters, and then I like pre-ordered it on Blu-ray.
When did it come out, by the way?
2019.
Like, I know 2019, but
Christmas.
Like...
Oh, it came out at Christmas because they announced it in June.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
They basically just slammed it out real hard.
Okay. I have no, this is my only Black Christmas. I did not see the 2006 one, which I think you said was gorier, which makes sense because this one actually is not that gory at all. And the 74 is the original.
Yeah. You got your cult classic. You got your like, you know, super amped, bro-y early 2000s horror version. And then you got basically your young adult version, which is what we're talking about.
Yeah, there I wasn't expecting YA when I was doing this, but...
Well, there were 30 minutes removed from this by the director because she decided she'd rather appeal to young people with it, which...
Which is a good move because I don't think mature horror movie fans would enjoy it very much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fine. The thing is that I felt like the horror in this was very well filmed. So it was like, I maybe wish it had been more horror-y, but
I guess you're a mature horror fan then. Okay,
I am
gonna call yourself
fan
mature
of,
in any way.
Whatever. What do you want to call it? The vibe.
Like,
I like
you
the
know,
vibe.
If you've seen sophisticated horror, I wouldn't call this that.
No,
it has a specific mission, which I feel is in its execution was sophisticated. But we'll get to that, I'm sure.
Mm. I have weird mixed feelings because at first. Immediately, I was like, oh, I know why this is on the bad list, and I'm mad.
Yeah, same.
After watching it, I maybe felt worse because I feel like there are other reasons for it to be on the bad list. Most
the thing
likely,
is, I think if I was just going to rate it purely on quality, it's not like a bad list 3 out of 10 film, but it probably is like a 6 out of 10 film.
Yeah, the thing is that the plot, if you wrote the plot on the cocktail napkin and gave it to me, I'd be like, that is awesome. But if they'd called it like frat murders or something, bro, alpha kappa murder, alpha kappa killer, something like that, then it would be like
alpha kills omega.
I don't think this would be on the list if they just called it
alpha
something.
Kappa in the ass.
Yeah.
I think you found it.
I like the vibes. I think all the acting is, all the actors in this are pretty fantastic. I feel like these are probably some.
Yeah, I like the lead quite well, actually.
Imogen Poots. I mean, one of the best American accents I've ever heard in my life. Could not tell.
I don't feel bad for not recalling her name immediately. Like you just, I guess you're looking at it. Maybe it's the.
It is a pretty memorable name.
She had to overcome a lot with that name in the United States.
She stuck out. Well, I guess barrel roll on through all this, and I'll do a story now, and then we can open up the Black goo stuff that possesses dudes. Okay.
Okay.
Christmas is not a cheery time at the Mu Kappa Epsilon sorority. Lindsay is murdered by a creep texter, and Riley Stone is dealing with her roofie rape by fraternity president Brian Huntley. Meanwhile, Chris is getting Meanwhile, Chris is busy getting problematic busts moved and problematic professors fired. Riley gets a bit of comeuppance zone by performing an accusatory song in front of her assailant, but things go bad back at the sorority house. Several sisters are killed. Riley gets physical scars to go with the mental ones, and it turns out that there is not just a killer. All the DKO frat boys are getting red-pilled Maroon 5 style by that problematic bust. And if you kill one crazed killer, there is another behind him. And the problematic professor, he's there too. A bit of violence and fire solves the problem. The bust is shattered and the frat house burns down. Oh, and Riley's love interest. He's like what they call a beta, but then like the frat voodoo turns into like an alpha. But then he goes beta again, but using things he learned from his time as an alpha. I don't know. I didn't know how to include that guy in the plot. But he seems to be like the third or fourth lead.
He's a kappa or a gamma or a sigma.
Andrew, maybe you could get this vibe. Here's one thing where this movie just didn't sit well, just watching it for me. And I think it's because I went to UGA, where I know you didn't attend, but you've lived in Athens. And I just, like, I don't know, the frat culture there is just like, even 20 years ago, it was just like, ew, no. Like, I want to stay away from that as much as I can. And I feel like this movie's like tossing me on that street in Athens with all the frat houses.
Millage Avenue. Yeah, it's worse.
Yeah. So that's to me, I wonder if that has something to do with it being on the bad list. Like, you know, like people that had gone through school or just don't like that vibe or don't really want to be tossed on the Millage Avenue. Right.
It feels like we're looking at, people within a cult getting terrorized, and you just want to like strain as hard as you can to not be like, just get away from those people, they're all terrible. You know what I mean? But I'm sure that on some level, if you want something out of some part of capitalism, you join the sorority and you do it. But the big issue I had is that I live on the internet. I'm on the internet a lot. The whole thing where there's the video of them kind of singing a cute little song that barely attacks the guy at all, and then it goes viral and it's a huge deal, that does not work. I don't get it.
Films have never been good at having a it goes viral video.
Well, it went viral.
Actually, would have gone viral.
He names the guy who did it by name in the end of it. She knew they were making the video, but they kept filming, and she said the guy's name, you know, raped, and used the word rape. Like, that's what I think that was the issue people had with it.
In 2019, we've had people openly saying that for the past 3 years, though. So maybe
I don't think Mark's problem is like, why was it a big deal? It's that he doesn't believe that people would have shared around that song because it wasn't.
Yes, it was not. It felt like someone told someone from 1965 what the internet was, and then they did something for the internet in 1965. Like,
as a viewer, I didn't think that was the part of the video that they were flipping out about. The song wasn't
about what they're flipping out about. It's about that he's like, it has 5 million views, but I don't think that video would have been shared around.
So if I saw that video,
I wouldn't even have gotten to the end where she names the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah. I mean,
if it's just everyone was skipping to the end and it was like reported on like a news website or something.
It's sort of like that would work if everyone in the world knew who that guy was. Like if you recorded a song like that and it was, well, you know, a lot shorter and it was about like the president, then maybe you'd get a bunch of views from that. It just didn't feel like something I would see on the internet. It's not that I, you know, had some kind of issue with the content of the song. It just didn't feel like something from reality at all. I don't know. And not in like a way, like it didn't feel like a heightened version of reality. It felt like the opposite. Like if they'd just done like a quick smash edit of them just showing the guy's face and then had like a you know, a bunch of weird sound effects like cat sounds, and it was like this guy rape 9/11. Then I would have believed it. But it's just
we could test your theory by taking that bit of audio out, putting it on YouTube, and see if it goes viral or not. Also, the Secret Service will be knocking on your door because you mentioned the president.
Well, I mean, if the shoe fits.
I am going to shoot the president of the United States.
Yeah, his jurisdiction doesn't reach you as a foreigner living in not even your own country.
Yep. That is not a joke. This is not satire. I am going to execute him with a gun.
All right. I forgot what I was saying. Okay.
For the anyway,
something that I did get entertained with watching this was the it's kind of like throws the Scooby-Doo ending on its head, I think. Which that's kind of fun because the whole movie, I'm like, oh, it's that guy. Oh no, they're really pushing this guy. Oh, they're pushing this guy too. Oh, it's all of them. Okay. Everyone is I actually like that.
No, the ending to me was great. I think the ending did piss a lot of people off because they're like, what, it's this ridiculous swerve. I'm like, no, this is great. the fact that it was a conspiracy and also it was supernatural black goo,
and you couldn't guess the black goo, it's in the title of the movie, come on.
I like that. But Mark, you were saying you know why this is on the bad list.
Well, my first assumption immediately when watching it was like, oh, it's misogynist. And I'm sure that's a huge amount.
They put that character in the film.
Yeah.
There's the boyfriend who's like, oh, you're always hating on men. Not all men are rapists, you know. God, you're being so mean. Why are you guys being so angry? Those are the people who put this film on the bad list.
Yeah, and to be honest, even though I just like attacked that song for being like unrelatable, I bet a lot of those dudes saw that were like, ugh. I'm offended. They were like legitimately offended by that. And the best thing about that guy was doing all that while they were hiding from a murderer. He's like, oh God, what are you? He's like making a huge deal. That's exactly the kind of fucking idiot that would be offended by this movie.
I haven't started looking up we had the same conversation. I was like, oh God, the 1-star reviews on this one. Oh, I get to look at a 10. Yay.
Yeah, that's right.
Should not most well unless he ironically writes it as a 10 and then like goes on a tirade. That maybe we'll find that one.
I looked at the ones out of just morbid curiosity, and a lot of them are trying to sound smart. A lot of them are just as dumb as you think they are. You know.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm a lifelong gamer. I've dealt with a lot of fucking idiots trying to sound smart while actually just being misogynists.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that's all you need to see actually.
I knew nothing about this film going in. I came very close to watching the wrong one because I remembered the talk about multiple remakes, and I got it in my head that we were doing the first remake, not the second, whereas actually we were doing the second remake, not the first.
I tried really hard to make sure everybody... I don't know.
But then, I started off and I was like, I was just enjoying it as like a little young adult drama. Like you say, it's a pretty well-made one. I like the characters. There was genuine drama. It felt pretty real. It didn't feel at all like a horror. And part of that, I think, is just like when you shoot a film this clean and modern, that just doesn't look like horror to me. Like, there's no grunge. There's no filth, like, to the visuals in a way that just didn't make it feel, like, scary in the sense of a horror film.
Yeah,
now I'm sure if we had a woman on this podcast, she would say that it probably does capture a certain kind of fear very well. But it didn't feel like a horror movie to me. And then we get into the main plot and we get into the end, and I could tell what they were going for was like this cathartic ending where they sort of kill all the bad men. But that was also a bit too tame for me. The film I was thinking about as I was watching this, I'm pretty sure Matthew hasn't, but Andrew and Mark, have you seen Bottoms?
That was my favorite movie of last year.
The it's ending on of my that, to-watch list. Where they just eviscerate that football team in like glorious, ridiculous, wonderful, over-the-top violence. That's what I wanted here.
Yeah, that
like if you're going to have an ending where it's like, let's kill these fucking men, you have to revel in it. I wanted heads flying across the screen. I wanted blood up the walls. I wanted a million creative deaths, and they didn't quite give me that.
I will 100% agree. I wish this movie had gone a lot harder.
Yeah. So that's why I think it probably, for me, would be like not a high-scoring movie, because I think I could see what they were going for, and I don't think they went hard enough. But it's definitely only it's got the score it's got because of fuckers.
I mean, Luke, you and I just watched Twilight for, you know, the April Fools on Time Enough podcast. I'm like, this to me does go in the same box as like trying to do a little horror, not doing it too hard, and it's got the YA vibes. Then my wife watched Twilight after I did for some reason. She's like, wasn't that great? I'm like, well, okay, why is that the one on the podcast you decided to watch?
Yeah, the baseball scene. If they would have made the whole movie about a vampire baseball team, I think Twilight would have been cooler.
Oh yeah,
the baseball scene's fantastic.
I've seen the baseball scene. Yes, it is. I think it's definitely the misogyny, but also, Andrew, you've seen the other Black Christmas movies,
right? Wait,
right?
Sorry. Bat or up. That's what I would call my vampire baseball movie.
Nice. Okay. You're out of the coffin. No, that was bad. Cut that out, Matt.
I wasn't listening.
Andrew, I cut it out
by not listening to you when you said that.
Andrew, you have to be the only person who's seen the other Black Christmas movies, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, but have you seen them?
Yeah. The 2006 one is more about the killer, Billy, who is, you know, the murderer in the first Black Christmas. And so these two remakes took totally different approaches. Mm-hmm. One went the sororities in terror route, which is the one we're talking about. And the 2006 one focuses on it's a slasher movie, and it goes more into the backstory of the murderer from the first movie. So it's more like telling it from his perspective, almost the same story.
I'm certain that at least some of the hate of this movie were from people who loved the other Black Christmases and thought, oh, it's another slasher that is this in the same vein. And this is, you have to, I don't know how you guys feel about like the new Ghostbusters movie that just came out. Like I saw the trailer for it and I'm like, I'll pass. It didn't look like Ghostbusters to me. I'd want a comedy.
I haven't watched either of the new Ghostbusters movies because I didn't see a single joke in any of the trailers.
I saw both.
I had the same
Are they funny?
Trip as you did with Afterlife. I finally did watch Afterlife. Still like 2016 better. But I liked Afterlife.
Comedy.
Yeah,
other ones aren't.
I liked Afterlife more than I expected, and I've actually seen it twice now because we also watched it with the family. But I didn't bother to pay the ticket and go see the new one, which did come out like 2 weeks later in Japan, I think. Yeah. So it's been
fan
a
service.
Less time.
The Ghostbusters have identified their fan base as the people that really hated the last one. So all they're doing is going in the direction of, not to make this about that, but there's a point here. It's the audience that these movies are intended for. I think that 2016 Ghostbusters wanted to introduce Ghostbusters to a modern audience. And there was a whole other audience that was like, no, this belongs to us. What I think is more important, and what I like and don't like is more important. There was some of that in the case of this Black Christmas as well. They were like, well, wait a second. Horror is all of it's for me. And what I think about it is more important than what a young audience would think about it. That's still going on with all the PG-13 horror that came out last year and has come out this year. Most of it's great, but if you look at all the online chatter and the Rotten Tomatoes and all that stuff, you have men our age and our color going like, this isn't horror. shut it off. I've had someone tell me in the Fangoria forums, which Fangoria, I've got issues of that magazine older than the fuckers that are telling me what horror is. And they're just like, if it's not R, it's not a horror movie. And that's their opinion of it. Whereas, you know, my kid is 10 and watching horror. She loves Black Christmas. She loves Five Nights at Freddy's. She loved Night Swim. She loved the Boogeyman. These are great. This horror compared to horror that was made for kids. There was no horror made for kids. We just all got traumatized by it. And that was just that.
Well,
but
there weren't really movies made for kids.
Horror wasn't for adults until Night of the Living Dead. Prior to that, all that horror was aimed at children. Adults didn't take horror seriously. We did that. Like my dad, you know, he was a kid when the shift happened. He was a teenager when the shift happened. So he got to be raised on Vincent Price and then come into adulthood on George Romero.
I guess there was like the psychological horror, you know, the haunting, the original haunting, I mean. And is it Don't Look Now?
That was the 70s.
Right, but I mean, that's right around Night of Living Dead time, if I... A few years it's after, I guess.
At least
but,
5 years. At
I'm
least
just,
5 or
okay,
6
okay,
years
yeah.
later.
I had sort of a realization. Oh, wait, one more thing about Ghostbusters that I forgot. That Reddit, since Reddit has gone public, they've started really trying to shove everybody in, shove subreddits in everybody's face that you might like. It really seems like everyone on the Ghostbusters subreddit said that we're saying that negative reviews of the new Ghostbusters movie were critics who were mad that there was not a sequel to the 2016 Ghostbusters. Which is, by the way, fucking insane and delusional.
Which they also hated.
Well, that's the thing. But the other thing is, like, reviewers don't go in and be like, well, I'm going to tear this down because the movie I did like didn't get a sequel. That's not realistic. Like, that's,
yeah, professional
that's
reviewers don't
illegal.
Do that shit.
Although no one's reading professional reviews. They'd rather subreddit.
No, they're just making up professional reviewers in their head to get mad at.
That's yeah, true. Yeah, exactly.
Take it from
strong.
Someone who did professional reviews for a decade. They don't get as near the attention and the clicks as someone just talking shit on social media.
Yeah, it's if they enjoyed it, then they fucked the Slimer popcorn bucket while they were enjoying the film. Good for them. I feel like while watching this movie, I just kind of realized that I don't like slasher movies, which was convenient that at the end this turns into not really a slasher movie at all. It's the whole thing. I've never liked Scream movies. I like Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th because they have all the supernatural elements, but I've never cared about Halloween movies really. Like, it's just when it's just a guy stabbing somebody, like the tension is just where's the guy and who is he killing? You know, it's just there's nothing much to it. And also there's the angle that it's a stand-in for puritanical Christianity. And it's like, if you have sex, the guy comes and kills you. And he says, stand in for God or something, which is boring.
Michael Myers is not your God.
The black goo.
But that's why they hate A24's horror movies, though. The pure horror fans hate that stuff because all they want is Terrifier, a clown murdering a naked woman 5 straight minutes. That's what they want.
I haven't seen it.
Well, that's
it
what happens.
Sound good. So I will watch anything A24 puts out that looks
it's not real horror though.
Mildly interesting. Good. I don't care. I will say that I do like R-rated movies in general better than PG-13 movies because I have a broken filter and I say fuck all the time and I want to see myself. I want to feel seen by a movie that says fuck a lot and has blood just come out a lot. You know, that's just me. I'm broken and maybe children shouldn't. I shouldn't be around children. Just you know, just for that reason.
Go work for Nickelodeon reason. Then.
See, I can't count myself as an actual horror fan, I think. So when I grew up with two of you guys, I was always more on the sci-fi end. So I'll watch a schlocky sci-fi and be fully into it. When I'm watching horror, I usually do want something that's going to, like, impress me and make me feel rewarded for the fact that I decided to watch this horror movie, you know? Where, again,
Black
sci-fi,
Christmas,
don't care. I'll watch any Star
Trek
episode.
Christmas, we're not the audience for this. None of us are.
No.
Like, the intended audience for it is not us.
But, you know, even though I said I don't like slasher movies, I do like movies where black goo does bad things, like Beyond the Black Rainbow,
Fifth Element,
X-Files movie, Prince of Darkness. Let's hear it for Black Goo. It's pretty cool.
Are you gonna say Prometheus? Wait, no, that was white Prometheus.
Goo. Sure, why not?
We're getting into white goo now.
Yeah, white goo, the Blob, 1989, green goo.
Mark, what is
I like green goo.
Green goo, also great.
Lord of the Green Goo.
There's black goo in
Prometheus
that.
Take, Mark. That was the first movie I thought of. I don't know if you like Prometheus, that or hate it or yeah. something in between.
Every scene that involves black goo in it is good in Prometheus.
It passes the goo test.
Yeah, it passes the goo test. They're just going to like add goo corner to this podcast now.
Yeah, it was like I was listening to something about a theme park recently where they have like the water park in the normal park. And apparently it's referred to as dry play and wet play. It's like, hey, kids, you want to go get this? You want to do some wet play today?
Oh, no.
Coming soon to Nickelodeon.
There's only one piece of trivia I've really got here that's good. And it is, remember the first murder in the beginning where you see the girl kind of make a snow angel? That was actually supposed to be a dick and balls in the snow.
But it didn't.
It
like
cut away
system.
Too soon. Yeah, I think that might have been trimmed. But I guess when they drag her off, then it's a dick and balls.
Right.
But that's, you know, great. I wish they just put the dick in. I guess that would have made it R and then children couldn't watch it.
The message that the movie carries with it. I mean, Matt, do you remember when I was a volunteer at the sexual assault center for Northeast Georgia?
Yes.
So immediately I see her go for her keys and put them in between her fingers. That's a technique that they teach there for self-defense. Mm-hmm. And so it was not only awesome to see that, which in the Maxine trailer, we also see that, but completely flipped around because Maxine's going to murder someone with her keys, I'm sure. And I can't wait. But later, when we see the person get stabbed in the neck with those keys, that's a big payoff for that first scene, you know, the one who did not make it. And, you know, we get to see it used effectively. So when I'm watching it, I have in mind who I knew when I went to see it within minutes who the movie was for. And I am way older than that. And I've seen a whole different set of horror. I mean, this is a stepping stone away from Scooby-Doo. I don't know who mentioned it, but that's a perfect thing to mention. My kid, when we were watching this together, she mentioned Scooby-Doo when they go for the mask. You know, but she wants to see something harder too as she enters into the preteens, but obviously not ready for, you know, Martyrs or Hellraiser or any of this other stuff that will just disturb her and she won't be able to appreciate.
By the way,
we need these movies.
My wife and I went to a greenhouse. It was like a desert greenhouse a few weeks ago. And I took this picture and then she got annoyed with me after taking this picture. And I didn't realize until after I'd already taken the picture where we have, it looks like dick and ball cactuses.
Ah.
Cactuses?
Not enough lube for that in the world.
But yeah, no, because she saw me like kind of centering myself and then shooting the picture. It's like, why'd you shoot that? Like, oh.
I feel like if I did have a kid, I would just be like, show them this movie and be like, now this is why you don't join a sorority. Don't do it. Don't join a fucking sorority. Not helpful.
The one thing I did have fun with the Greeks with was I was a bus driver at University of Georgia, and you know, Friday, Saturday nights I drive the late shift, and it would turn into like the party bus, right? Which can be annoying, of course, but there's a dip in the road right before you get to the stadium at UGA, and I just hit the accelerator, flipped the lights, and there was like airtime, and they loved that. And nobody vomited, I think.
Okay.
At least I didn't clean it up.
Well, see, I'm both British and I didn't go to university. So fraternity and sorority culture is just absolute nonsense to me. None of it tracks. Utterly incomprehensible.
Yeah.
When I did go to the brief amount of college I did, I intentionally went somewhere where there were no fraternities and no sports teams. One of the colleges I went to has a bunch of sports teams now, and they're just building them all over the place. And I'm like, well, and they basically killed the theater and the radio station there. So my feelings of that place have soured. Anyway.
Hey, at the top.
That's terrible.
At the top of it, I asked you about the specific release date. And the reason why I was thinking, well, what is the movie that was aimed with us with similar sentiments? And of course, this takes the sexual assault thing out, which is, you know, obviously very important in this movie. But I was like, if we're just thinking about kind of these vibes, is Dark Fate the one that was like aimed at us?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a female director, which if it was, I'd be like, ah, yeah, 100%. That's the one part where I'm like, maybe not.
No, but Dark Fate was the fan service for old white guys.
But I mean, the Dark Fate was more woman positive than a lot.
Yeah, I remember the interesting discussion we had is me and Matt, were talking about our predictions for what Dark Fate would be about. Because I was saying, oh, well, you know, Terminator 1 is about fears of pregnancy and Terminator 2 is about like postpartum depression. And then it's like, oh, Dark Fate is about how a woman doesn't have to have kids to be important.
Yes.
And that sort of caught me off guard.
Yes.
So,
Also, I mean,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah. A Latinx Terminator just eviscerating Border Patrol guys.
Mark, I'm going to have to say fuck you for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say Latinx.
Okay,
no one in Latin America likes that.
Okay, I apologize.
If you insist on doing a gender neutral one, say Latine, because at least that makes sense in Spanish. But
wait,
the only
if it's
people
a robot,
who say Latinx are white people.
If it's a robot, could I call him like a Latinobot?
Latinoid, hell yeah.
Yeah, Latinoid Terminator attacking Border Patrol. Now we've talked about that scene that took like 5
gold-plated
seconds.
Gold-plated Latinum.
Yes.
That's one of the many like Americanisms that really pisses off Mercy, my Mexican girlfriend. So I know she's going to listen to this, and I know she's not going to let that stand.
I apologize, Mercy, and I will learn from my mistakes.
I hope you don't say like salsa sauce and taco filling.
No, don't worry about that. Before we get into the IMDb reviews, I do have a fun review from Letterboxd. Best part about this movie was when a random man stormed into the theater yelling, "The fuck is this movie?" and then walked out 5 minutes later saying, "What the fuck? Is this not Jumanji?"
I guess it's a little different in Jumanji. Hey, well, the end of the movie, that's Jumanji stuff, right? Except
kind of.
The Jumanji stuff would be
more
PG.
Jumanji than the new Jumanji movies.
I still haven't watched those. I do have the Blu-ray of the first of those two, so I have.
I liked them. I mean, I'm not like sitting here watching them over and over, but
the Rock,
I did like.
Yeah, everybody likes.
I like
the
them more than Night at the Museum.
I really like the new Jumanji movies. I think they're actually among the best video game movies because they kind of actually understand games.
Isn't Jumanji a board game though?
The new one, no one's playing the board game, so it transforms itself into a video game.
Oh, okay. Haven't done yet.
It's also one of those fun movies where The Rock actually acts because he's playing someone else in his body.
That's the second one, though, right? Or is that also the first?
No, they multiple characters. So different characters are in The Rock's body in each film.
Okay. Anyway, now I'm just asking questions about a completely different film, which is probably a waste of time. Andrew, you want the floor for some any other points on this? I don't know, because just to see, since you asked for it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll just say that, you know, there's enough horror for everyone. And there are enough types of horror to appease anything that you are looking for. In the information age, there is absolutely no reason for an adult to not be able to find that. And for any self-professed horror fan to know what they like by the time they've reached 30s and 40s. And if you don't know your own taste enough to go, wow, that Black Christmas, I'm not going to like that. That is not the movie's fault. That's your fucking fault.
Word.
Yeah, I think that's pretty true of all media.
Well, yeah, I mean, just thought
as an
some
avid
people need
Trekkie,
to hold these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. As an avid Trekkie, it's like, what, there's like currently six Treks bandying about, you know, choose your lane. And hey, if you choose all of them, that's cool.
Yeah. You got, I mean, Star Wars has it too. Marvel has it too. There's enough of it to find yours and enjoy it. And, you know, there's, if you're having a bad time at the movies, then you're a grown person that wasn't dragged to it. That's your fault.
I guess that is where, you know, we're tasking ourselves to watch these things. And I just had my first view of Twilight, which does seem to draw a line in this direction. So it's almost like that was like necessary. Like if I had watched this without doing, because I haven't seen any YA movies. I saw the first Hunger Games till they left the city, and then I didn't see the city anymore, and I got bored.
That
I have
new
on Blu-ray,
Hunger Games
can watch
the best
them.
One. That new one they made is the best one. It's like a prequel or whatever. That's actually, I went with a friend who was
interested. That sounds like a real Andrew opinion, so I'm going to take that with some pictures.
That one did get pretty good reviews, though, didn't it? I mean,
oh, really? Because I haven't heard a lot of good things, and I know Andrew likes everything.
No, I'd heard some decent buzz on that, actually.
No, I just, Luke, I like a lot of things that a lot of people don't.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm weird.
I'm aware by this point,
I'm weird.
I have a few friends like that, including Phil, who's a frequent guest of this podcast. I just want to somehow put all of you in a room together and like throw movies at you and see what everybody, if everybody agrees. Like that'd be really fun someday. Just
I'm just really good at, after having worked in the video store and after having served on jury boards for film festivals, after having made movies, after, you know, picking Oscars for the last 10 plus years, I just really got a good sense of what I'll like and what I won't. The last time I saw something I really didn't like was a movie called Model House, and that happened last week. Yeah, I'm going to see Civil War pre-screening tonight. I didn't like You'll Never Find Me, that's on Shudder. But yeah, we'll see about Civil War.
I haven't gotten around to watching Men yet.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
Oh my God,
like,
dude.
That this was the thing. I felt like that what after I watched this Black Christmas, I'm like, I bet Men compares a lot to this. And I decided not to watch it because that's like a male director. And I want to be like, well, this male director made this. And I was like, no, I'm not touching that. The fucking,
yo, that was a problem I had bringing up Dark Fate. I was like, well, there's this caveat, right?
No, Mark, you're going to love Men so much. It is so freaking gross.
You're going to love Men so much, you're going to fuck them.
Yeah, you're
going to. I know I will. It's just, I have a hard time getting around to stuff.
You know that every man in the movie looks the same, right? They're all played by one guy.
Oh my God. Okay, you don't have to tell me anymore. I'm going to watch it.
I'm not because that ending, holy shit, the people in the theater were screaming. I couldn't believe they did it. I couldn't believe they did it. So let me know when you watch it.
Okay, I will. I'm excited, and I've heard really good things about Civil War, and I've heard it's a really like you don't know what you're getting into type of stuff about it. So which is great. I love surprises. That's my style of I love surprises.
Because my main gig isn't writing reviews anymore, I've been able to be a little bit more selective with stuff. But I was legitimately kind of afraid to see it just because of how plausible it looks. But it appears to me that the journalists are heroes, and so why wouldn't I see it?
I mean, that's the thing. I don't want to just watch like sadness porn about what very possibly could happen. And it sounds like it's not sad, but it's like wild all over the place.
Is there an Alex Garland movie that isn't good? Didn't we all love Annihilation and Ex Machina? Is it?
Oh yeah,
dude,
yeah.
Ex Machina is like, I don't know. That might be top 20 for me over the past 20 years or so.
Right.
I mean, that's
so there must be something more to Civil War than it looks like for that guy to want to make it, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not Black Christmas.
No, Black Christmas 2019 film or filth. I have my designation, but maybe someone else will come up with it first.
This is yet another one where I would say it's film and its biggest failing is a lack of filth.
I'm looking up if there are any Greek letters that start with F.
Okay, while you're doing that, I'm
phi.
Going to...
It's phi. Phi, phi, phi.
Doesn't that start with P?
Yep.
E, okay. Phi, fo, phi. I smell the blood of an
I'm
English
going man. To make it a certain kind of filth, I'm going to put it in the black goo category, along with Prometheus, the X-Files movie, and all the and the and
yeah,
not the blob
rainbow.
That's green goo. It does that's a different category. So this is filth in the black goo category. With so Prometheus also is in the black goo category.
But think about it: if all that black had been like red, it would have gotten an R. You know. It was smart, just like what Sam Raimi tried to do with Evil Dead 2, make all the different colored blood so he didn't get an X. Still got an X, but that's not the point.
Let's put the X in sex.
Well, I'll say this, is that the last movie
this
I saw...
This film is sexist to men, and I hate it.
It's misandrist.
Yeah, this is a misandrist film.
I was going to say, the last movie I saw that I really didn't like was the Fog remake, and... this is very pleasant compared to that movie.
This is better than
very
the Fog
scary.
Remake. Because at least it has something to say. That's the thing where this movie has a message, so that gives it some reason to exist. Even the execution's up for debate, right? But the movie's trying to say something, which, you know, a lot of movies don't. So
no, it has a definite like mission, which I think is cool.
Andrew, did you see the Fog remake? You look puzzled.
I don't remember it. I don't have it.
Stars Superman. Yeah.
Tom Welling.
Oh my god, I don't remember it. I mean, I'm
just
not
watch
the
Carpenter one again if you want to.
You can watch the Carpenter one and listen to our episode on it.
I'm more of an Adrian Barbeau fan than a John Carpenter. My favorite Carpenter, for the record, is Ghosts of Mars. Like
there
I
you
said,
go.
I'm weird.
There you go. I'm gonna put you in a room with those guys, and you're gonna hash it out. Somebody, I bet everybody's. I don't know.
I hated Ghosts of Mars when I first saw it. But years later, I came back to it, and I was like, oh, my God.
I could never get Ghost of Mars and Mission to Mars straight in my head.
It's the one without Gary Sinise.
I don't know who that is.
De Palma and Carpenter.
Lieutenant Which one has Ice Cube?
It's basically Escape. You know how they had Escape from New York and Escape from L.A.? This was written as Escape from Mars. So Ice Cube plays Snake Plissken, basically.
Okay, that's pretty sick.
I'm not sure I've actually seen Ghost of Mars. Anybody should give that a view. Hey, I have 2 10-star reviews I'm not going to read. I'm just going to read the titles to watch Luke cringe. there's one that says, high review to bump the rating up. I know
in this case, that makes sense because the low ratings were not made in good faith.
Yeah. Which is the other one, which is ignore the cancel culture.
This is that classic, my favorite irony in the world, that the only people who actually practice cancel culture are the same people who complain about cancel culture.
So I'm just bringing up that it kind of does like seep a little bit into the 10 stars, you know? Oh, no, I don't like this one. This is another bump the rating up, although it's well written, but clearly in the end they're bumping the rating up. Here's one. Black Christmas Entertainment. Entertainment is in all capitals, but Black Christmas is not. Okay, why all the hate? I just left this movie with my nieces 3 and 17. Okay. I'm 26 and all three of us like this movie. It's the most entertaining time I've ever had in the movie theater. Everybody was screaming and laughing, enjoying themselves. Yes, this movie was not perfect when it came to the remake of the original material. But for what this movie was, it was very entertaining and I enjoyed it. I do not get on the hate. Live a little, people. But I guess that's a key thing. I went with my nieces 13 and 17, so that's going to hit the sweet spot for this movie.
That's exactly who they wanted in there, you know. R would have kept them out. I would have bet my kid's about to turn 11, and she's watched the Carrie remake recently also.
What's her name? Chloe Grace Moretz, isn't that or something?
Yeah, not the perfect Carrie, but they'll never do a perfect Carrie. But great movie, and she also really loves the New Mutants.
Oh, I never got around to watching
that's
that.
Because
Did you guys
no,
watch that?
That's because it would like came out by stealth.
Well, it's like you can watch things on the internet.
I know. It's just like they barely, and it was like the way they waited 3 years, barely announced it, and then 2 years later, everyone's like, "Oh, the New Mutants movie came out."
It's a rad movie. It's like Marvel's Dream Warriors.
Yeah, cool. I'm one of those people that I didn't think Dark Phoenix was that bad. You know, come at me,
it's
internet.
Carrie, basically. Frozen, Carrie, and Dark Phoenix are pretty much the same plot.
Yeah.
Dark Phoenix I like is Frozen in the category of a bad movie that I will continue to rewatch. I'll say that. Like, I will watch Dark Phoenix again at some point because I just watch X-Men movies sometimes. And sometimes I watch the Dark Phoenix.
Me too.
I'd rather watch Frozen again. And I know that, Matt, you have a kid, so you probably wouldn't say that. But
I wouldn't say that. I've seen Frozen enough. Thank you.
But Frozen is basically an X-Men story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an X-Men story, but it's also... It's an X-Men story that leans really hard on these people don't want to, this is a burden, not a gift. And maybe you should practice some understanding. And maybe, look, sometimes I have to go off in my ice castle and meet ice princess. Okay. I can't always be available. I'm out of spoons.
Hey, I've got one more review that's kind of in, like it's still a 10, but it's kind of in contrast to the last one I read. So
okay,
this one is a, sorry, I'll edit a bit if it's a longish, but long-standing horror lover. I've been a horror movie fan since the 60s when my ultra-hip aunt and uncle brought me a wee kid to see the drive-in horror double features on the weekends. By my teens, my grandmother was a Stephen King fan from the start, and I got all her used books, so I guess Roller Coaster Fear and Adrenaline Entertainment are in my blood. Over that time, horror's evolved, changing repeatedly up to today's murder age, of which I'm no fan. I actually like a plot more than I like buckets of sadistic gore. Not that anything's wrong with sadistic gore on screen. I felt like this film was smart in the way it rehashes the boys versus girl argument of the loneliest incel. In true millennial fashion, Black Christmas is chock-a-block full of social justice warriors trying to go after every issue. And wait, is this going to change? Oh, this movie makes it hell of a lot funnier than arguing with online trolls. Okay. I was about to say, were they stealth? It gets in the weeds in there. Yeah. Anyway, the point is
I'm sorry, I need to know something. Did they capitalize The Loneliest Incel? Was that a title of something that's a story?
It looks like it's
a real film. I want to see it. Yeah.
It's made by Uwe Boll.
I figured out what that word actually meant last week, by the way.
Incel?
You're a lucky man.
You are so blessed. I was going to say that regarding one of the previous reviews that you read, one of my pet peeves, like Luke hates numerical ratings. I hate when people put in their reviews, come on, people, or something to that effect. We're like, come on. Not worth saying. It's not an argument.
Yeah, but when they don't put the comma in, it's pretty hilarious.
Come on, people. Yes. Let's eat grandma.
Yes, that would be the other biggie.
Or Eileen.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I'm finished reading reviews. That's me. Final thoughts, Black Christmas. I mean, I guess, yeah, we're sitting here saying like it's not quite for any of us, although
yeah, I am a little Andrew's bit house. Like should four middle-aged white men have reviewed this film?
I told Matt the other day, I'm like not looking forward to the feeling of how I'm going to feel talking about this, and I kind of still don't feel great about it. But I mean,
if anything we've said has sounded interesting, like you should probably seek out other opinions on this.
I think it's something like if you haven't watched it, we spoiled the twist.
Well, we do. So that
I don't
every
know.
No, and I don't think the twist was like a key factor of the film for me.
Yeah.
Like the twist was just, you know, it was set up that all of them are involved. The fact that there was some magical element, you kind of see it pretty early on. So I don't think it was a film that lives or dies by its twist, by any stretch.
What's bizarre is the last name of the one girl that ends up being a traitor is Rittenhouse, which is exactly the name that boy who shot up the Black Lives Matter folks the following year.
That's just, also my that grandmother's family name.
The coincidence, but wow. Whoa.
No, it was predictive programming.
Right.
Q orchestrated it all.
Yeah.
That's satire.
That's my grandmother's family name. We had this in her house. She had the Rittenhouse coat of arms on the wall.
Goodness.
Kyle Rittenhouse is doing a college speaking tour right now, so make sure to like go and, you know, do whatever you feel like doing.
Do what you feel, first of all.
People.
I will say that just as a person who is just, I was the first time anybody called me feminist, I was probably about 22 years old, and I didn't think that that was a thing that I could be as a guy. But now what I understand is that my conversation about feminism is not something that I will have with women, or that I'm doing for the for to either impress them or to engage them. I would rather talk to men about feminism. And I think that this was actually a great movie for us all to be talking about.
That's fair as well,
Okay.
actually.
Particular group.
Probably there are a lot of like male podcasts where they just would not touch on a film like this and talk about this.
No,
And
I don't
they
have.
probably would not watch a female YouTuber talk about it either. Whereas
Yeah.
who knows, maybe they
Yeah.
stumbled across us talking about it. So I think that's a fair point.
I think part of the
Yeah.
filth list is, I mean, if we just went in and just hated on everything because it's on the bad list, that's no fun. I mean, it's kind of like a challenge. Like, okay, let's find the good things in this bad movie, and let's find where we can poke holes in this so-called masterpiece if it has them, you
Yeah.
know?
And I'll
That's
fully admit there's wrong things with
I'm
some of these.
always really intrigued to figure out why a film is on the bad list. Like so often it's like, oh, okay, this is just on the bad list because people went in with high expectations. Or this is on the bad list because it sort of became a meme and everyone was accusing it of being bad. And this one, it's so obvious why it's on the bad list, and it's for the most depressing reasons.
I mean,
Yeah, that
I will
was the
say
thing that
my
depressed
daughter's
me about it.
14 now. We're not gonna watch this, but that's partly a cultural thing. I mean, she's not an American 14-year-old, so this
No.
makes very little sense. Also, we've already watched Alien and The Shining, so we don't have to take the step back into this.
Yeah, I've always considered myself a feminist, but as I've gotten older, I just don't. I don't say it out loud as much, and it's not that that's a wrong. That's not that that's a bad thing to do. I just want to take a step back and just hopefully sound like a decent person. And people can just infer from the way I talk that I'm a feminist and don't, that I believe in,
You don't
I'm
want to come
already, I'm
across as an
messing it up
asshole. You
again.
don't want to come across as an asshole is I think the base.
I
Well,
don't want to
you
come
don't
across
want
as an
to,
asshole.
you don't want to, it's like the old any man who has to say, I am the king is no king. Like, you
Right?
don't want to have
Yeah.
to say, I'm a feminist. You want to
No, it should
show it
show
through your words and deeds.
in your
Yes.
action. Yeah, and that's why that was why someone called me that in the first place. It wasn't because of something I said, it was because of things that I did.
Yep, and we've all met people who said they're feminists and obviously are not. So that's the
Oh
other thing.
yes.
Oh, they say a
So,
lot of shit.
well, I was a little worried the direction, not worried, but I was wondering if the direction they were going with the, the sort of the character who wasn't part of the frat and he got brainwashed at the end or whatever. I was scared the direction they were going to go with him was like he's someone who uses all this language to seem like a feminist and an ally. Where he was going to turn out to be just as much of a fucker as the other men.
That has
They had,
happened in
which
other
isn't,
movies, Luke.
yeah. And I'm
That's
very aware it's a real thing, but it wasn't quite what they did here.
Did they
No, I
have the
meant like
cake and
these
eat
other
it too,
movies
since that
too.
kind of happens, but
Well,
he's brainwashed?
no, I mean,
Yeah.
maybe, but also that's part of what makes this a decent horror movie is that you don't know what's going on. If you don't know exactly what's going on, that's, the thing I hate about slasher movies. And at least this movie mercifully a couple of times was like, oh, I don't know. Is Carrie Elwes going to be evil as hell, even though he keeps acting evil all the time?
Oh yeah, I
Yes.
forgot. I loved him in this movie. Yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
we should take some time to. Yeah, obviously, I love seeing Carrie Elwes turn up in anything,
And he's
yeah,
one of
and
those, he's
especially as a villain, he's delightful.
no, he's one of those guys where he's so handsome, even a little older, like he only works as a complete prick, you know? He's only
Yeah.
effective as a prick. If he was
And
a
it's cool
nicer
that they
man,
had
he'd...
the black woman come and lead the takedown, I thought was excellent. And one thing for fans of the 1974 Black Christmas, I don't think anyone would have missed the character of Marty, I think it is, the one with the long dark hair. She gets the arrow, you know, when her
In the leg,
boyfriend, she kicks her
Matthew.
boyfriend. She looks just like Olivia Hussey's character in the very first Black Christmas. It's incredible. I, in fact, went back and made sure she wasn't also dressed like her as some sort of like direct. So I don't know, but her hair and her face, she's just a dead ringer. Maybe that was a wrong choice of words.
She's a injured ringer.
Yes.
Oh, here's something annoyed about this film. Elm Road is not a street in this movie, and that
Every town has an Elm Road.
It felt wrong on the ears.
Yeah.
Nice Freddy's Dead reference, Mark. I appreciate.
Thank you.
I guess we'll start wrapping this one up. Hey, Andrew, if you want to be as topical as you want on Gonzerific, because I'm posting this in like 12 hours.
Oh, okay. Well, Gonzerific is about to release our umpteenth mixtape. It's called Zombikini, and that will be available at gonzerific.com. Features Zombikini. It features Amityville Horrors. It features Holy Foley. It features Paranormal Astivity. It's got a lot of bangers, kids. And also, you can get my book, Everybody's, over at Amazon.com.
And what? I won the game show, so you have to do this part.
Good point. If you want to hear,
which also came out today. I just uploaded that before we started recording.
Welcome to our emergency podcasting recording session.
If you want to hear other podcasts, such as Matt possibly destroying me at game show,
like 2 points,
or other podcasts like Luke Lowe's Pokemon, Hyrule Field Report, Time Enough podcast 1989, Nicole Disney. You go to patreon.com/podcastiopodcastius. You can throw us money for server bills. You can listen to outtakes. Why don't I say see outtakes? You can watch your computer.
They can watch the YouTube version, I guess. No, do you put the video on Patreon or just the audio?
Just the audio. If someone really
wants okay.
Video,
but on YouTube, I think it also contains the outtakes because I'm not bothered to edit those.
You can watch your audio player slowly play the clips as you listen to them. Yeah, and I guess until next time, do not. Oh, look. Oh, Andrew
nice.
Brought over that. Yeah, yeah.
So cool. The Blu-ray is upstairs, but in DVD, I have the 74 Black Christmas and the 2006 Black Christmas.
If someone wanted to watch one of those two, which one would you recommend, Andrew?
Oh my God.
Aside from this one.
You got a classic and then you just have a really, I mean, it gets whacked. That Black Xmas is good.
Okay. I would recommend the 2006 one because it's on YouTube.
Good, good.
That's why I almost ended up watching that one. I was like, oh, there we go. It's peasy.
It's made by the Final Destination people.
Oh, well, now you got me interested.
Yeah, and this is the unrated. So I don't know on YouTube which version they have, but this one runs 0 minutes because they don't say.
Well, that's convenient. You can watch that in an afternoon. Anyway,
you know Kung Fu, you know Black Christmas, Xmas, excuse me. Yeah, Mark, Black that's like Goop. Making Andrew choose between his children. We should ask him to choose between his children.
Oh, I don't know if you'll like the answer to that. Anyway, until next time, Alpha, Kappa, goodbye.
Omega.